Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dirty Money Moves discusses cases in which a crime may have occurred. All parties referred to in this podcast are presumed innocent until proven guilty by law. Opinions expressed don't necessarily reflect those of the podcast host, Murderish, or Cloud 10 Media. Emily Hanks, thank you so much for joining me again on Dirty Money Moves. You've been here before, and you're now kind of like becoming my go-to when I need to just really dish. You know, we're covering Gwen Shamblin now on our current mini-series. I knew that when I emailed you, you were going to be like, yes, of course I know who this is, and yes, I can talk about it. So welcome back, Emily Hanks from She Speaks Bravo podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk to you about Gwen Shamblin. We've just now kind of like put a period on this story on our mini series. And
by the way, great mini series.
Thank you so much. You are always so complimentary of the show, and I appreciate it.
I love it. Love your show. Love.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, look, who doesn't love? And that's why there was such a successful and wildly popular, you know, docuseries on this woman, because she is just a hater. Or lover. I don't know anybody who loves her except her daughter. We'll talk about her. But hater or lover, like she's fascinating. And I think that she touches on a lot of people's, especially women's, but people's vulnerabilities. And maybe that's part of the reason she was able to create this like hypnotic following. But I don't know. Let's dive in. Let's dive into I'm sure you've seen the docuseries. You've listened to my mini series on her. What are your overall thoughts on, and it's a big question, but like, what are your overall thoughts on how so many people time and time again get wrapped up in these like culty situations and just are so loyal? And maybe at a certain point, maybe they snap out of it. But like, how do people keep getting wrapped up in this stuff?
What I'm so confused at is, okay, she didn't really invent anything that crazy. It's like she just talked about portion control.
Yeah, intuitive eating, really. Like
and God told her to do that. I'm like, guys, this isn't some huge message that only she's received.
This does not make her a prophet.
No.
She's come down from the sky or however it works. And she's coming down and she's like, I have been sent by God to tell you to only eat when your tummy rumbles.
And so even in one of the people interviewed in the docuseries was like, I've come to find that it's just intuitive eating. I'm like,
bingo.
You really had never heard of that before? Never. So it's just that they got so far into it and hadn't looked up one, like nothing crossed their path that whole time that was like, guys, this isn't actually a Gwen thing. This is like a thing. There are tons of other books on it. And she found a way to wrap up to, because look, as someone who has struggled with their weight their whole life, I totally get how you can, because you know, when you start a new diet, like that hopeful feeling, Mindy Kaling talks about this a lot.
I love her.
That hopeful feeling like your life is going to change. Like this is the one, and you get all this stuff and you read all the things and you're shopping and you've got your meal prep. And and so it does kind of get not culty, but it gets very much religious for a second. So she took that weight loss obsession and mixed it with religion. So give it up to God. And so she invented something that helped people. And then she added in a Holocaust reference.
Oh, stop. I heard the brakes hitting the metal pads when that occurred. And she doubled down on it
multiple times.
I just absolutely, like, she absolutely did not understand why or how that could be offensive.
I like in the docuseries, like the credits that they roll, you know, that they put the clips together. There's the interviewer being like, now, why do you bring up the Holocaust? And whoever her like PR handler is literally lifting her off the chair, like, get out. You cannot answer
don't
that.
Don't talk.
No. And she's trying to. She's like, no, I can. You cannot answer that. You don't say anymore. I don't know who the hell told you to say that word, but we don't reference the Holocaust. Didn't they lose weight?
Well, that's a whole nother episode in itself. Like the audacity of her to say, but it worked for the Holocaust survivors.
Oh my God.
Oh, it just was all kinds of wrong, especially from somebody who's this prophet, this religion. Like you just don't go there.
A lot of the time too, the people they would show in the crowds, their hair was like, even her daughter, their hair was so thin because they were malnourished, but then her hair is so the opposite.
Well, that's because she did a few things to make it. She had like a V8 Hemi engine backcomber.
I really am disappointed that there is no footage of how she did her hair. She didn't do a YouTube tutorial one time.
That shit would go viral on TikTok in a hot second.
Don't you need to know? I need to know.
And my husband even asked, and he knows nothing about like beauty and like all the whatever. He's like, is that now, are there like fake pieces in there? Is there like a bump it or two in the back?
Or two
or three or 20.
How many are there really? Because literally, I don't think there is a piece. I think that is pure back home hairspray.
That's what I thought. I thought it appeared that it could be all of her own hair, but just crazy back combing. I'm talking back combing on steroids. Maybe maybe she had like an electronic comb that just like back combed the shit out of it. Because wouldn't your wrist get tired?
I agree.
I mean, when I blow dry my hair for 5 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, shake out the wrist.
It's totally.
It's like exhausting.
Yeah. So she starts with like a diet plan, essentially. And then gradually moves towards, no, this is a church. We are a full-blown church family. That's used a lot. We're a church family. I'm like, what's that mean? That's weird. Then we are disciplining children to the point of their death.
Yes.
And which then makes me think that she did that to her own children. Like she very much, because let's face it, her daughter did not look okay.
She absolutely did not look well. And here's the thing. I absolutely rage against everything her daughter was preaching because she was essentially just like a clone of her mother. But I can say that I understand how she could get there because she's also been manipulated by her mother, potentially abused, you know, verbal, whatever's going on in that household. So I can empathize with her because she absolutely does not look well.
No.
I mean, her complexion,
her
facial bone structure, her hair, her demeanor. She didn't look like she had energy. Like, I mean, and you know, let's just talk about the multiple tragedies she endured in her life, but was never really able to be human to say, I'm sad, I'm crying, I'm emotional, I'm express, you know, like she lost a baby.
Yeah.
From a very young, like a 5-month-old baby. Horrific. The worst tragedy, I think, arguably, that anybody could suffer. Then she loses her mom and husband at the same time. So now she's a widow, and then now all in her very fragile state, from what it looks like, she's supposed to be the leader of this mega church, which is all, it's all kinds of crazy. But I think going back to what you were saying earlier, you know, Gwen, she didn't, like you said, it's not like she invented anything new, but what I guess the new thing she invented was putting it all together as one package, like actually saying that this weight loss program, it is going to bring you closer to God.
Yep.
And into heaven. Like you're going to be, which is, that was it.
That was new. The gateway. That was the hook.
And it worked because, you know, I'm not a religious person. I wasn't, and I also wasn't raised that way. So I don't know how it all works, but it's like, you know, these people who are following her are godly people. They're religious people. They want to get into heaven. They want to be closer to God. And she knows that. And that is you know, she played on that want and that need, yes, and that desire. And that was it. And the thing is, that's kind of fascinating about her, kind of like Mary Carol McDonald, the scam artist who I met, you know, a few years ago. Oh, and then yeah, we did yeah, a whole, yeah, yeah, she was the subject of our season one of Dirty Money Moves. She had a legitimacy in the TV Hollywood industry. Like, she actually was a, you know, an executive for a big, you know, TV media company, production company. Then you have Gwen Shamblin did go to school for dietetics. I want to say she actually had, yes, a degree. So she has some legitimacy there. So she brought, but then she, where she went left was bringing it into a religious structure and saying, like, literally this diet. And also it was problematic. I mean, intuitive eating is one thing, but what she was preaching was literally just, it's problematic. Like, intuitive eating is one thing that can be a healthy thing, right? But she's literally like, if your stomach is not making audible noises, you better grab that Bible instead of opening that fridge. And mm-hmm, that is problematic. And I look at her daughter. That cannot be healthy.
Her daughter looked like a woman with anorexia.
Absolutely.
There's no other way to say that.
No, there's not. With
sunken face, hair loss, her eyes. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, are we not going to talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, it was jarring every time she would appear on the screen. And I'm not saying that from a judgmental point of view.
No,
I'm saying concern.
Yes.
I mean, if I was a close friend of hers or a relative, I would find a way to say, like, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look well. And then, you know, she was taught by her mom also, just it's bad for the church's image to show all this emotion over tragedy, to show that bad things happen. So, like, it broke my heart when her daughter lost a baby, lost a child, and there's just got to sweep it under the rug, put a positive spin on it, and move on. That's
next to impossible, because that's a lifetime of grief.
Absolutely.
In reality, that's a lifetime of trauma and grief. And you expect them not to have 1 minute of it?
Yes.
That's not a thing.
It's not healthy. It's not good, but it's just one of many things that Gwen Shamblin would preach, would, you know, and her daughter followed. She was very loyal to her. And the son.
Oh, wait, the son.
Gosh.
Okay. So the way they intro the son was really funny. So he's like, they show this guy playing a guitar and singing some weird song. And I'm like, oh, they're about to drag this son.
Oh,
and
then you didn't like that song?
And then the first person to talk is like, he was like Mozart.
Mozart.
I was like, we think he's good? Okay. Yeah. I gotta switch gears. I didn't thought we were gonna drag him. Okay. Never mind.
Okay. Hold on. He's like Mozart. And the thing, it's so funny because people are so quick. I don't know why I just thought of this, but, like, first of all, why we got to go to Mozart? Like,
why we go to Mozart?
If he's a talented musician, I give him that, but not Mozart. Like, literally, Mozart? Like a musical genius. Now let's talk about Kanye West. Now I'm going to make this connection. I always thought it was so funny that, like, yes, is Kanye talented? Look, some people say he's not. I think he's very talented. From a musician, like a music standpoint, I think he's very talented. I have enjoyed so much of his music over the years. Okay, but hold on. Is he a genius? For some reason, somebody somewhere along the line called Kanye a genius. And he, like, somebody, some PR person or marketing, whatever,
oh, yeah,
spun that. Now, literally everybody who talks about Kanye, they're like, yeah, you know, he's a genius, right?
Yep.
It's like, hold on, wait. Have we proven this? Has he been given an IQ test? Like, has he, you know, like, why do we? And it's just like people say, like, oh, this person's a supermodel. Or are they a model? Or are they a supermodel? But now everybody's a supermodel.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, like, dude, this kid, I forgot his name, but Gwen Shamblin's son, why does he have to be Mozart?
The music is just in him. I'm like, okay. All right. Really
cool.
Wasn't seeing that. She's like, if it wasn't for Gwen making him do all the church stuff, he'd be doing music. I'm like,
absolutely.
I need you to just take
dial
it down
back
a notch.
Dial it back a little bit. I don't think we're on the level of Mozart just yet.
Get a little perspective here.
Yeah. Maybe like Nickelback. Now I will give him.
Okay. Yeah. We go, go there. But yeah.
Now, Oh no, go, yeah. So go
he
ahead.
Was troubled. No,
he was troubled. Yes. Yeah.
This woman, Gwen just ruined everyone's lives.
She really did. And that you saying that is the exact thought that I had when I went and rewatched the docuseries and like was going through the research for the mini series that we just did. She caused so much destruction. So much so that even though she's a human being in this world, and even though she has children and people who love her, it's so hard to feel super sad after she died in a horrific way. And listen, I'm just being honest and vulnerable when I say that. Like, I feel like a bad human for saying that, but I can't lie and say that when I found out that it happened, that I was sad. I wasn't happy, but I was sad. But some of her followers, actually, though, previous followers, literally called it like poetic justice. And at least now she can't cause all this destruction. And arguably, she played a role in a young boy's death. Not at her hands, but potentially at her preachings. Let's talk about that.
Like, and then when she tried to deny the audio.
And then they had the receipts.
And she's like, that's been doctored.
Honey, girl, they all say that.
They all say, oh, because it's a now it's a mass conspiracy. It's always, we always see that when it comes to like churches trying that, you know, we're trying to take the church down. Whenever there's an allegation against a big church, we saw that with like Hillsong.
War on religion. It's on the church.
You're
it's,
just trying to take a good leader down because they can do that, right? But it's like, it's not some big massive conspiracy. It's just proof. It's just evidence.
Yeah.
Here's an audio recording of you. We have you saying spanking children. If you don't spank them enough, that's they didn't get spanked right. So that's not a coincidence.
Yeah. Like she said something like, what was, and this is not a direct quote, but she said something like, if they're not crying or saying that it hurts or what, wasn't it something along those lines?
Yes.
Then you have not spanked them enough. Meanwhile, this poor young boy, 8 years old, Joseph Smith, had multiple injuries on his body. I'm sorry. That is, I mean, did you spank him enough? Is that enough for you, Gwen?
And to die, like for a child to die like that, I mean, it's a slow, painful death. Like,
yeah, putting him in a box. I mean, it reminded me of Gabriel Fernandez.
I was going to say
out of Lancaster.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. I dove into that story about 3 years ago for a Murderish podcast, and it was the hardest.
I was going to say, how did you? That must have been so hard for you.
It was, and it's hard for everybody. Like everybody has the same reaction. I avoided covering that story. I had multiple listeners always writing in, you've got to cover the Gabriel Fernandez, but I knew that better than to do it. And then I finally gave in and did it. And it's the worst thing. It will always, that case will never get out of my head. It's the most tragic case that I have ever learned of. And this little boy, Joseph Smith, totally reminded me of just like children are so innocent. Nobody believes they should suffer even an ounce of sad, like we all just want their lives to be fluffy and perfect. That's what they deserve. But just for him to have gone through the things he went through. And yeah, there is undeniable audio of Gwen praising this mother for her very problematic, you know, discipline, which really was downright abuse methods.
Didn't the mom say I locked him in his room from Friday to Monday?
Yes, she sure did. She said the entire weekend only gave him his Bible. And Gwen praised that. Sorry, all of it's completely shocking and problematic. And I just don't understand. This woman, Gwen, must have just been, now again, I'm not a doctor, not a psychologist, must have been an extreme narcissist or something along those lines to want that kind of control and power over people to say the craziest shit to get them to fall in line with whatever she's saying so that she has that control and power, that obedience. And it just, who wants? She's a different kind of human being. She is a different type of human being who wants to hold that kind of power over people, even when the things she is saying and preaching are just so scary and dangerous. Mm-hmm. So dangerous. I mean, look at her daughter, look at her son, look at Joseph Smith who died. I mean, all these things. I mean, and look at Gwen herself. Now, again, I don't want to tear a woman down for the way she looks, right? I appreciate walking down the street and seeing all different styles, sizes, colors, hair, you know, whatever. But there just seemed to be, even just in the way she applied her makeup, her hair, but like, let's just talk about her makeup. And I'm not saying this from a judgy, your makeup looks shitty standpoint. The way she applied her makeup when they did those close-ups of her eyeliner, and it's so sloppy and not good that it just makes you think like it's she's unhinged.
Oh, something yeah.
is terribly off.
Oh, no, I'm glad you bring this things. I am fascinated by those things. Like,
me too.
Because we apply makeup. So we know what it's like to look in the mirror and be like, okay, like I'm going to put on my makeup now. And when you do it, you're like, I'm now satisfied. So to go, I'm going to apply my makeup now. And to do that and be like, done.
Exactly. So yes, that is what's fascinating, because her eyeliner appeared as though, like when my daughter was in kindergarten, learning to color within the lines, but it wasn't within the lines.
And you're like, okay,
oh, that's normal for a, you know, yeah. kindergartner, but like for a grown woman to apply her eyeliner specifically that way, it seems unhinged.
And those, because you see people in real life, like in your daily life, like I worked with a woman who always had the tarantula mascara. Like that, like, yes. And it was always like that. And I could not stop staring at it. Whenever she talked to me, I'd just be like, whoa, like you left the house like that. And then I'd wonder, like,
that was a choice.
Do you wash this? I had so many questions. Like, do you wash it off at night and reapply? Do you just leave it on all the time and just like maybe touch it up every day? Like, I had so many questions, because it's just a fascinating thing that this is a choice, because we make it. It's a choice. So it is. It's a question I would have loved to ask her Gwen one day.
That is Gwen, let's talk about your eyeliner, please.
Yeah,
let's
please talk, walk me through your beauty routine. Can you please do a get ready with me one day?
Can you imagine how viral she would go on TikTok with her get ready with me's?
Like, because you know Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium?
Oh yes. Oh gosh.
She showed us how she did her hair once.
Oh, wait, yeah. I never saw that.
It was on one of the episodes. It was, she went and got her hair done, and she actually was getting mad at the lady who was doing her hair because she wasn't doing it right.
Okay, now that, so you and I are both like picking up on something that we're fascinated by. Like, I'm fascinated by Gwen's
yes.
striking hair, her striking mascara, her, you know, and this Long Island medium. I would venture to guess there is a psychological
yes.
connection.
Yes, right? I'm like fascinated by this too.
Yeah, okay. I need to get my friends on the show who yeah. are like psychologists, yes. you know, like to really break this down for us.
No, because, okay, I have the same fascination, because so my brother-in-law's mom has the exact same hair. Oh. She's had the exact same hair for like her whole life. And it is, okay, it's like big.
And
in
it's
the
not
back.
Lisa Rinna you're talking. At least you're not Lisa Rinna.
I know. I did just see.
Okay,
it. I did just
hold
make
on.
It seem like that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's big in the back and it's feathered in the front. Mm-hmm. And every time I see her, I'm like, okay, so I think you take a round brush. And I'm like, so you have to go to the same hairstylist, and they must know that they cannot mess this up.
Absolutely.
Because this
not.
Is your comfort. This
signature.
Is like your thing. And yeah. so do you remember the show Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yes.
Remember Beth?
Yes. Beth,
she goes to a hairstylist at one point, and that one hairstylist messes it up, and she gets mad at that hairstylist, and she goes, just give me it. And she starts hairspraying her own hair. And because it's a fascination I have as well with these people
yes.
who have this very particular type of wacky hair, seemingly wacky. I shouldn't judge it like that.
I was thinking about this before you and I talked, and I'm like, why, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, that eyeliner is ugly, or that's not what I'm saying. It seems that there are certain makeup applications and hairdos that universally
yes.
are received as not good by most people, right?
Yes. Like,
so I would say Gwen Shamblin, I would venture to guess, I'd put a little money on this. Most people would go thumbs down on the hairdo.
Like,
and
if
makeup.
someone did that to you, like if you went to a makeup counter and like that was the
pissed.
End product, you'd be like, no, thank you.
I'm not,
like
paying
you
for this.
Not paying for this.
Now, if it's Halloween, maybe cool. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm Gwen Shamblin for Halloween, mm-hmm. you know, yes, great. But other
great
than
Halloween
that,
idea, actually.
Yeah, great. Actually, great Halloween idea. Some people will be like, oh, not, oh God. Now, see,
yeah,
I
see,
I
you could totally pull it off.
I feel like I have the hair that could do that. Now,
I was going to say, you have enough hair to totally tease.
Yeah, my hair is about her length and I could do the layers. It was so fascinating when she would turn around, you see the back of her head and it's literally like layered
like
empty
steps.
Hollows. Yeah, there's steps, like empty hollows in between each step because you only have so much hair that there's got to be some break in it, you know, in order to... It's so fascinating. And then now let's talk about, what did I call him on the show? Her bought and paid for husband. I called him. I called him Handy Travis.
Handy Travis. You did call him Handy Travis.
Because he was like a wannabe country music star, but he was
and
also
a handyman.
When I couldn't help myself. Now, first off, did you like his music? Now he did a real hot video on there.
I wasn't a huge fan.
Oh, shock.
But look, I'm not going to deny that in his heyday, he was hot.
Listen, he was that perfect, like, romance novel type dude, like, throw some long hair. Oh, he did have long hair at one point. So he's that type of look. I so get it. And I can see women.
Like, I understood Natasha's attraction.
Of course. Natasha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I can understand Gwen's attraction too, because like she's an older woman to him. She thought she got some prize. And now he was just like cha-ching, I think, when he met her. Like, I did not get the vibe that he was, physically attracted to her. It was, dude, she was like, let me get you a private jet. Let me get you this. Let me get you that. You can live the life you always wanted to live. It seemed so obvious what was going on in their relationship.
The custom framing company Framebridge will change your opinion of what true customization really is. They measure and handcraft each frame specifically for your piece, so you can Framebridge just about anything. Selfies, game day jerseys, your anniversary dinner menu, or your latest artistic masterpiece. Just go to Framebridge.com and upload your photo. If you have a physical piece to frame, they'll send you complimentary packaging to safely mail it in, and you can preview your item in dozens of frame styles. Then choose your favorite or get free designer help. The experts at Framebridge custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece right to your door. Instead of paying hundreds of dollars at a framing store, Framebridge starts at just $39 plus free shipping. You can order online or stop by a Framebridge store near you to work with a designer in person. I'm currently redecorating my podcast studio, and I love having my podcast artwork on display. I framed my Dirty Money Moves cover art with Framebridge, and I just put it up. I went with an extra large Irvine frame, and my cover art looks perfect in it. My podcasts and listeners are everything to me, so seeing this on my wall every morning just makes me happy. Framebridge did such a great job, you guys. Frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift today at framebridge.com. That's framebridge.com.
But he was fascinating because, and again, from a psychological standpoint, I am no doctor, but I would venture to guess he too is a narcissist.
Oh, yeah.
Narcissist-ish, like, because I can't diagnose. But I mean, something's going on there, you know, but for the way the things that he did to Natasha, like lied about her and said she was sexually abusing their own daughter, was absolutely awful. Awful, awful, awful. No decent human being would ever do that to anybody, let alone the mother of their child. So yeah, it just was so fascinating. And obviously you could see that's where church members, you know, her followers started to have a break. They're like, wait a minute, we see some hypocrisy, because all of a sudden she's taking all these vacations with her second husband. And also she's telling everybody else, you better stay married. Mm-hmm. All the women who were in her church, she's like, no, I don't care if he's cheating on you. Basically, you're going to stay married, you know, in your horrible marriage. But yet she can divorce. That's what God wanted her to do. And God accepts her second marriage, you know, and all these things.
That would have pissed me off too.
Me too.
There's that one woman who's like, I have an addicted husband who's cheating on me and basically beats me. And she's like, just stay in it. That's what God wants. And then she goes and gets divorced. Oh,
slap in the face.
No,
exactly. I would have a thing or two to say about that. And these women did. And they brought it up. And that's when people are starting to go, hold on. something's going on here that is not very holy.
Yeah.
You know, and she just is this hypocritical person who wants, she's a money grabber, Gwen. She made all this money. We called her the profitable prophet, you know, in the mini series. And also too, what makes her a prophet? I would love to understand.
I feel like anyone can just call themselves that. I can call myself that. You can too. I mean, what the hell?
There must be
a requirement. I feel like anyone can call themselves a prophet.
It seems like it, because if Gwen can be called a prophet, how the hell is she a prophet? She's teaching like problematic diet shit, you know, to these people and abusive discipline methods. And now she's a prophet. It just, for her, I think her whole thing was just money, 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 obviously. And she would say anything and do anything to get there. I am fascinated by her childhood. It seems that she was brought up in a very, yes, very conservative, religious, strict household. And I wonder how much that helped to form the person she became as an adult. So, okay, then let's fast forward a little bit. So we've got Gwen, we've got her seemingly, you know, bought and paid for husband, Handy Travis over
here. I wonder how many times she made them have sex a week. There must have been an obligatory number.
Absolutely. And you can just imagine him going, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't, but I got to do it. I got to do it because I'm going to get a private jet. I got to do it. And her pulling him up on stage. And now all of a sudden, like Natasha's like, this guy was never religious.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's considered like a leader in the church holding the Bible. It was so scripted and cringy. And come to find out, they were going to have like this reality series that, you know, she was creating a nine, what was it, like a CD or something on the topic of greed, of all things.
Uh-huh.
Of all things, she was going to talk about greed and how bad it is. And it's like, she's the greediest of them all. I don't know why I just flashed to this, but the absolute best part of the whole docuseries that had me dying was when Gwen Shamblin was saying, like, learn to fall in love with the thing that you despise about your significant other, right?
Oh.
The lady comes on. She's sitting there in the interview with her husband right next to her. And he's just staring at her, like gazing, like he loves her so deeply. And she's like, you know, before I met Gwen Shamblin, I could not stand the sound of my husband's voice. She said she's like literally saying, I could not stand the motherfucker. And then
the sound of his voice.
And he's there staring at her like, I love you so much, honey. And then she goes, until Gwen Shamblin taught me to fall in love with the very thing that I hate about my husband. And now I am in love with his voice and da 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 da. Sorry, my accent is just so off.
No, that was really good.
I was dying because she literally is like, I despise the sound of my husband's voice. But now I love it.
And I'm like, oh, I believe you.
I believe you, honey.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Because that's usually something you can fix.
Yeah.
You can go from hating the sound, oh, the very sound of that person's voice, to now I love it.
Mm-hmm. It makes me so hot for you, your voice.
I love your voice now. God, I love it. Oh, I love it. Oh, happy. We're so happy now.
So happy now with your voice. And it literally is the thing that I love the most about you, because Gwen taught me that I can fall in love with the very thing that I could not stand. You made my skin crawl before, bro. And now I love you.
I love that in the reality show she was producing, it's like they were showing her renovating, flipping houses or something. Okay.
So I'm so glad you brought that up, because this lady, she couldn't decide what she wanted to be, but yeah, all of it involved, however I can make money for myself,
yeah,
which by the way, I'm not going to leave a dime of it to the church once I die.
Yep. No, forget that.
That was crazy. But you're right. Like, okay, so she was a dietitian. She was a mega church leader. She was a prophet. She'll teach you how greed is bad and how not to be greedy. She's a reality TV star. She's a home flipper.
Yep.
Her church has all these different business arms where, like, they brought in house like a handyman business, or what was it? Some sort of contractors that are now kind of like owned by the church and they service the church property.
None of it made sense. But I love that one lady was like, Gwen didn't do anything all day. What is she going to have a reality show about?
Some of these women were so,
they were so funny.
Hilarious. I was dying. Oh my God. I wish I remembered some of their names.
Me
so
too. Call them
out specifically, but it was so good. I mean, that's why the docuseries, The Way Down, you know, featuring Gwen Shamblin is just, it's so intriguing and entertaining. Yes, it's sad. It's shocking. It's dark, but it's funny too, because it's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. That you have to laugh at certain things, like literally his country music video. I couldn't. It reminded me of the Tiger King. Is that his name?
Yes, it totally did.
Yeah, like dancing totally on. Did. I'm a cowboy boots on. He's singing like a love song on top of a car, or the wind's blowing in his hair. Dang it.
There were a lot of music videos. It was very like there were a lot of music breaks.
Now, did you love, or did you vomit, but did you love the part where there's this like home video footage of like Gwen crawling around like a little kitty cat and her husband, what's his name, Joe Lauris, chasing her around the house? I
was like, my eyes were burned forever. I mean, I felt like he must have had to have had like a lobotomy or something to deal with. Like, he's like, I don't know what he like singed a part of his brain to be like, this is fine. This is fine.
I can get through this.
Because
I can get through this and tolerate this.
I need to know what she looks like when she's going to bed. Like, does she ever break it all down?
Yes. Yes. I want to see her just coming out of a swimming pool with wet hair.
Yeah.
No makeup. Like, I want to see that Gwen, because I would venture to say it's a very different Gwen.
Because does it ever all come off, or does she just kind of keep caking it on?
It's like, you can't imagine her being the type of wife to go to bed barefaced, sludging, you know, it's very big on TikTok, sludging your face, or is that what it's called? Yeah, like where you just put layer of goop on your face, you know, the eye patches and like, you know, her hair all unteased. Like, does she ever let Joe Lara, the hot hunk of a man, Joe Lara, see her in her natural state? I highly doubt it.
Mm-mm.
I don't think she's that woman. I don't think she wears sweats.
No,
it's always a dress and heels. And because, you know, the higher the heel, the higher to God, the higher the hair, the higher to God. So everything's higher.
Yeah.
Except for her eyeliner. She probably could have used a nice cat eye, like a winged tip. I would have loved to see her with a winged tip. Like, I have a makeup guy who's even done it on my eyes, and my eyes are very hooded and deep set. He's a master.
He could have used a nice cat eye. I didn't see that coming.
would have loved to see a cat eye on Gwen. And I'd love to see her in a pair of sensible Amazon joggers.
Right? What's her casual vibe? I did feel bad though in hindsight when like after it all came out and they were like, you know, then everyone started making fun of us. And being like, I wouldn't have followed her. And I was like,
oh yeah, I don't like that part.
Sorry, guys, but it is kind of hard. It was difficult because we are coming in as outsiders.
Yes.
Looking at it. And it is really hard. I'm sorry, guys. It is really hard to look at her without any context and be like, her?
She's a prophet that you're going to follow? Yeah.
Sorry. I know, guys. I'm sorry. I know. I know,
understand where you're coming from. Here's the thing. I've come to believe, based on all of our research for this Dirty Money Moves, it's all about scam artists. Yeah. I know for a fact that millions and millions of very intelligent people have been scammed. And so it has nothing to do with a person being dumb or stupid, or almost anybody is susceptible to being scammed under the right circumstances. Now, these scam artists, I think what I have to understand is these people were raised a certain way, maybe to respect authority, and it's like a small town vibe. And she played on like their religious beliefs and wanting to be closer to God. And they had probably been taught their whole lives, like, do whatever it takes to be closer with God. And so she's helping them do that very thing. And she's a master manipulator. Yes. So I understand that. And I would never, never, never think that somebody who was scammed on a small or a big level or anywhere in between is stupid. That's a fact. They're not. Like,
they're not.
That's not what it is. But they're these manipulators, these scam artists are so good at playing on people's vulnerabilities. And so that is, you know, obviously what happened here. And you're right. Like, but the reason we're fascinated by it is, yes, hindsight is 20/20. I totally understand that. Like, it's so easy for us outsiders to look in and go, well, I would now, this lady, hold on.
This, I mean,
yeah, this woman, sorry, if I'm going to follow somebody, I ain't going to be this woman, you know, but clearly so many people did. And that's for a reason. And I can't believe that they're all unintelligent. You know, that's
to be fair, the hair didn't start that high.
No, this is true. So they were probably already hooked.
Yeah.
The hair and the makeup
was not, it was much more conservative. It gradually grew.
Yes.
It's kind of like you don't notice it. Like, it's like, it was like a little by little thing.
It is. You're right.
So suddenly, like, we're coming in at the crazy tail end.
That's true.
When they show the early years, I'm like, she just looks like a, I mean, yeah, her hair was big, but she looks like a church lady.
Absolutely. And perhaps her teachings and preachings got more and more controversial and strange and outside the norm as they went on, right? Like,
yeah,
people probably started with her in the beginning, like she was somewhat normal-ish, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Right? But then, before you even notice, she's gotten crazier and crazier and crazier, but you're already in. You've gotten in for the exactly. beginning. So yeah, I mean, I can see where this can happen. And yes, it's very easy. Hindsight is 20/20. But I'm fascinated by it, that she got hundreds of people, maybe thousands, you know, to follow her and her crazy diet methods, and to literally believe that dieting and being skinny
gets you into heaven.
I can't prove it.
It's one thing to think that you don't like the way you look when you're overweight. It's sure. another thing to think, oh my God, I'm going to hell.
That's a whole different fear that you put in people. Like, holy shit. Like, maybe I didn't care so much about looking good, but you're telling me that I can't be with God if I'm chubby or overweight or just basically not skinny. Not
You've
thin.
Taken it to a whole different place.
Yes. And also I would argue, now I'm no doctor, okay, but Gwen appeared to be maybe too thin, like to a level that was not healthy. So it's not even about like, let's get you healthy to a healthy weight for your body, your makeup, whatever, however that works. No, let's just be dangerously thin.
And people would be telling her, they're like, I'm fainting. And she's like, well, are you dead yet?
Absolutely. And I would love to go inside Gwen's medicine cabinet, because I would venture to guess the woman's cheating to be thin. She is not probably practicing what she preaches, basically like intuitive eating, but on a dangerous level. Like, you know, I think that she was very likely taking something to help her.
Appetite suppressants for sure.
Absolutely. Or like, you know, yeah, exactly. So appetite suppressants to get there, because this woman, there is no way she could be an ounce overweight with what she was preaching. Mm-mm. She had to model the way. And I can almost guarantee she was probably cheating. But that, you know, like what was going on behind the curtains?
Oh, my God.
I love that they lifted the curtains a bit on the financial situation. You know, how much money she was making. We saw that because we saw it came out in her divorce from her first husband, who was, of course, kept very secret.
God, that man just became a ghost.
He sure did. And that's exactly what she wanted. That's by design.
That's crazy.
It is. They hit it.
He just went away.
Yeah. And he had a degree in divinity. So he was, of course, alarmed at what she was preaching, because he's like, I know this not to be true. This is not okay. You know, so of course his thought process probably did not at all align with his wife's. And so it's no wonder. And also he was a bit overweight. He didn't look the way that like she was saying you had to be to get closer to God. So none of it worked from a PR standpoint for Gwen Shamblin. So she got rid of him in a hot second, replaced him real quick in a hotter second with the fabulous Handy Travis, Joe Lara. But yeah, I mean, it just, she completely just sort of like wiped him from the record.
It's absurd. And it all happened right in front of everyone's eyes. It's not like they didn't know him. They all knew him. And then she was like, we're just going to pretend he didn't exist. And now this guy is here.
Yes.
Shameless.
Yeah, it absolutely. And people, I mean, it definitely was not lost on the church members. A lot of them spoke up about it, and you saw them in the documentary going, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely hypocrisy at its finest. And just the whole plane ride. Okay, so the flight. I mean, it came out that it seems like Joe Lara probably should not have been flying that plane.
Right.
Seemed like he was certified, but maybe newly certified, didn't have a whole lot of hours. And I was just talking to Christina, who works with me. And I was just saying, like, I have sort of developed irrational fears as I've gotten older. When I was younger, I would swim out to the middle of the ocean, no problem, no life vests, like, cool. Now I'm afraid of sharks. I only go like...
Me too.
Yeah, I only go knee deep. And I know it's like the chances of a shark getting me are probably pretty low, but like, I just can't do it. And it's the same with like these small airplanes. Like my husband, I trust him so much. I ride on the back of his Harley, but he, you know, all the time, but I feel so safe with him because he's such an experienced rider. Plus I trust him, yada, yada. But like, if my husband came to me today and was like, dude, I want to get my pilot's license, and he did it and he did all the hours, I'm not getting in his plane. I'm not like, I only want to fly on a plane where it's like this years long experienced commercial pilot that's got all the, I don't want to go on your fun little,
it's a plane.
I just can't. I can't. And Gwen just got right on, and their circle of friends got right on.
I'm right there with you.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And I mean, that their plane went down within like 90 seconds.
That went, okay, that part, 90 seconds, you got up and went down.
That's it. And it seems like he was disoriented. It seems like he may have been flying through some like a fog or whatever and easily got disoriented. And they nosedived into 8 feet of water.
Oh, my God.
So imagine there is like nothing left of this airplane. It's so scary. And of course, like the part that was like so sad, obviously, you know, the Joseph Smith, the young boy dying, broke my heart. But then you've also got, whether you agree with these people or not, and I don't, you know, a lot of them were horrible, the people who followed her, the leaders of her church, but they have children, they have families left behind, and there were children left with neither parent. And they were, you know, they were on their way to a political rally. We won't go there, but they were gung-ho on this political rally. But I think that the full investigation results should be out at some point soon-ish, because we haven't gotten those yet. And I will be curious to see what exactly happened aboard that plane. I don't know if there's any kind of recordings, like audio.
She probably said something horrible.
Yeah. God damn it, Joe.
It's all your fault.
It's all your fault, you asshole.
Yeah.
Should have never let you fly this plane.
God shouldn't die. This is something, you know, something like that. Something horrible.
And see, now that's a whole interesting aspect to this whole thing too, is that now the church has a problem. Because if Gwen's a prophet, nothing bad is supposed to happen to her. And now she's dead. So what does that, what message does that send, and how are they going to spin that in their church? That's going to be a tough one. And see, here's the thing, like, that's pretty interesting. From what I understand, you know, her daughter, Elizabeth, sort of initially stepped forward as like, hey, I'm the new leader of this church. But since then, she's been pretty quiet and reclusive. And
yeah,
the church leaders who are not related to Gwen Shamblin are just kind of left sort of trying to hang on and run the church. But like, what's going to become of this thing?
Yeah, there was that interesting part of that doc that was like, you know, Gwen was willing to kind of do anything to rule in maybe, let's say, a controversial way to keep people in line. But is the daughter willing to do that?
Exactly.
I don't think she is.
I don't think she is either. And as much as she seems to be very much like her mom, probably because she's just been under her thumb and control, she might, I wonder if she will break out of it.
Right?
Now that her mom is gone, maybe she will get back to normalcy and better health and maybe see with a little more clarity. That'll be interesting to watch. And of course, it was no surprise that her son immediately exited the church.
Yeah.
With his mom's death, because it seemed he never wanted to be there anyway.
And there were a few childhood friends, like high school friends of the daughters, that were like, we just wished we could have grabbed her out of there. So maybe they've gotten to her.
Could be.
And been like, hi, so before your mom got a hold of you and did all this, we were not down. So it would be awesome if she could break out of it, and maybe this church could slowly dissipate. And because it's not a church, it's a cult.
It's a cult. And I think that almost everybody would agree on that. And whatever it is, it's not healthy. Healthy things are not going on.
No, exactly.
For its members. And it seems to be very dangerous on so many levels.
It's for profit. It's for profit. It's a business. That's how it becomes a cult.
Yes, exactly. So now it will be interesting. I would like to see it crumble.
Yeah.
I don't think that it does any good for anybody. And it would be interesting, obviously another docuseries on the daughter's journey. People would watch that. Ooh. She fascinated me, and they didn't really ever come out and address her shocking appearance.
Yep.
That seemed to be
never. Unwell. They never did. It was driving me crazy.
Me too.
I'm like, stop showing pictures of her and not mention what's right in front of her eyes.
Yes. Like something is wrong here. Alert, alert, alert. So yeah, I would be interested to know and kind of follow her journey and her path to see what's happening. And I do have empathy for everything she's gone through. She has lost everybody close to her. So almost everybody. But
you're kind of onto something. Someone needs to get even if it's just her on her own camera phone, document your journey, girl.
Oh, it would be so interesting.
I can see in 3 years her something coming out, because you're totally onto something there.
People would definitely watch, right?
Oh my God, I'm already excited. Is it on HBO?
Let me put it on my watch list right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pay for an additional Showtime subscription, which is hella expensive.
If it's
on Showtime, I'll do that. You know, my husband and I thought we were so smart years ago when we cut the cord on cable.
Yep.
Which, yes, to this day, it is still less expensive. And we pretty much have cable channels and all that. It's fine. But then that's been replaced with, if you want to watch this new show that everybody's talking about, well, it's not on Hulu, which you already have. No, it's on Showtime. Oh, but and this other one's on HBO Max. Got to go get that.
They figured it out.
And I subscribe to damn near all of them. So now I'm pretty much paying what I used to pay for cable.
Too.
Now, here's my argument for it. Maybe we are actually saving money because we are no longer renting Blockbuster videos and paying the late fees.
Oh, my God. I know.
But damn, it's too many subscriptions.
Uh-huh.
But I got to have them because I can't have FOMO with all of these. I have to watch every docuseries now there are a few. I am choosing right now not to watch the Dahmer thing or the Lori Vallow thing. I guess I'm kind of a little bit on a true crime break right now.
Okay.
I'm not. Yeah. And I go off and on. So the podcasts I'm listening to right now are reality TV podcasts, health podcasts, girl. Yeah. I think I know a girl who can talk a little bit about Bravo. I know a girl. Oh, her name's Emily Hanks.
Oh, me?
Oh, it's you. It's you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I do. I do a little bit.
You do a little bit, little bit. But yeah, so I go off and on. But also the Dahmer thing, given I'm 44 years old. So I live.
Wow, you look fucking great.
Oh, girl. Thank you. I only said my age so you would say that. No,
oh,
just kidding.
Okay, good.
Just kidding.
It worked.
No, I'm at the point in my life now when I tell people, I'm like, yeah, so yeah, I'm a mom of three and both two of my kids are in their 20s. And then I pause and I'm like,
you're like,
if they don't go, what?
You're like, okay, we're done.
We are so done.
You're dead to me.
You're dead to me.
you put there in it. You're like, you're on my list. Okay.
Checked off. Friendless. Right. Yep. Goodbye. Goodbye. Dead to me. The Dahmer thing.
Yes.
I'm of the age where I lived through when it was actually happening. And I remember being wow, this is so terrifying. And so I kind of knew and know mostly all of the details, although I'm sure
I got you.
Some. But it's just so dark to relive it.
Oh, I get you. And it is a dark series, girl.
It is. That's what I hear. Even episode one is very hard to get through.
I actually think that you're making the right choice then.
Okay. Thank
I think
you.
You're making the right choice because I had a hard time getting through it. The show, what's the show? It's on Peacock, Friend of the Family.
Okay. Like in plain sight?
Yeah, abducted in plain sight based on that. So I had watched Abducted in Plain Sight and I was like, oh, I'll try to watch Friend of the Family. But because I know the entire story, I'm like, this doesn't really matter because I'm like, I literally know everything that's about to happen. So all of the like build up tension, I'm like, I know what's about to happen next. So it didn't really matter. So if you already know the Dahmer story and it will already traumatize you, don't watch it because
watch it.
I had a hard time. I had to watch it during the day because I watched the first episode at night and I had to immediately watch like Real Housewives of Atlanta right afterwards because I was like, it's a lot. It is very, because it's so good and he's so good and he's disturbingly good as Dahmer. Like, I'm like, how'd this guy snap out of this? Like, he was too good. Like, he became the guy. So, yeah, it's very, very real.
Yeah, that's the feedback that I'm getting too, specifically about like the actor. He's just so real and like convincing that it just makes it even creepier. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you're good. Skip it. You're good.
I'm good. I'll skip that one, but I'll watch the Gwen Shamblins all day long. Those are not too, for some reason, they are not too dark for me, although it did get a little dark at certain parts, but so fascinating.
I respect that though. Actually taking a break on the true crime. I understand that. Because it comes a point because you cover true crime too. So you're like, it's kind of how I get. That's funny. That's how I get with Bravo.
Yes. I can imagine. That makes perfect sense to me. So it's like overconsumption.
Yes.
So then you go and watch true crime.
Uh-huh.
Because you're like, I've had enough of this drama, this cattiness, this, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I can't even sometimes listen to Bravo podcasts because I'm like, I already know. Like, I hear about it. Like, that's, it's like work to me sometimes.
It is. No, it is.
It becomes my job.
You're immersed in it. Like mm-hmm. my best friend, Jessie, and I had a podcast for a while. It's still out there, but we're on pause right now. But not she and I are not on pause. She is still my bestie. Let me just for the record. We had to stop recording because she's a nurse and the pandemic hit and it was just too crazy. But it was called Judgy and Juryish and it's a reality TV podcast.
Love that.
And yeah, it was crazy because what we didn't anticipate was that we are both like Bravo TV lovers. We always watch The Housewives. We text each other. Oh my God, can you believe this? Then we did a show, a podcast about it. And it's like, hold on, now watching the episodes is work because I have to pause it. I got to make my notes. I got to rewind. I still watch, but it is work.
Yes.
It's work. When I used to just be able to lay in bed and like talk shit and yell through the screen, but I didn't have to pause it and make notes.
Girl.
So, yeah, I feel you. I definitely feel
you
on that.
It just took me 2 hours to take notes on this last Salt Lake City because I just wanted to get there was so much fun. Whitney losing her mind and just being crazy. I wanted to get all of it in there because I can't wait to reenact that whole scene. But like, it just took so long to take notes that I was like,
there's so much there. And on that note, I cannot wait to record with you next week because we're going to talk about the Salt Lake City ladies. And when you say act out scene, that is, you're speaking my language. Like, can you please act out like Whitney Wild Rose, whatever her name is on Instagram. Then you got, what's the other one?
Jen?
I love it.
Oh, Lisa. I mean, the thing about the Salt Lake City women is they're really easy to mock. I mean, not mock, but like their voices are so distinct and cartoonish.
Yes. Meredith,
Lisa, Whitney, Jen a little bit, but those three alone, like it's not hard to, you can't even help it. Like when I do my recaps, I don't even mean to, but like, I can't say one of their lines without doing it in their voice. So
you're right. It's so distinctive and it's part of the reason why I'm just like so in awe when I watch, because I'm like, who are you?
Yeah, they're like not real.
No, they're not.
They're absurd.
They are so fun to watch. It's the show that I didn't think I'd be into and totally got into. So I cannot wait to talk with you next week. And
I'm so excited.
I love any opportunity to talk to you. This was such a great chat about Gwen Crazy Shamblin Lara. Where can people find you and listen to your podcast and your social media, all that good stuff?
You can listen to my podcast anywhere you get podcasts. And I'm also on YouTube if you would like the video versions at She Speaks Bravo with Emily Hanks. And follow me on Instagram and TikTok at She Speaks Bravo. Thank you so much for having me.
I love having you. Thank you so much for making the time. We'll talk soon.
Of course.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I loved talking to Emily. I hope you enjoyed the conversation too. Make sure you're subscribed to Emily's podcast
She Speaks Bravo for some of the best recaps of all of your favorite reality TV shows. As I've said before, we're currently working on another miniseries and, of course, season 2 of the podcast, which will be another deep dive into a female con artist. Dirty Money Moves is a collaboration between Murderish and Cloud 10 Media. Executive producers are myself, Jamie Rice, and Sim Sarna. Research, writing, and producing for the miniseries is done by Devin Ruskin. Emily Crane does the audio mixing and editing. Josh Cook composed the music, and Brian Stefanik created the podcast cover art. Follow us at Dirty Money Moves on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And if you like the show, please rate us, review us, and leave us a few stars at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now. If you're into true crime content, check out my other podcast, Murderish. Thanks so much for listening, and see you next week for the start of a brand new miniseries.